The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
We had an audit all week at my company. We got a few write-ups. Got to pay some fines. Sliced my finger. My phone went out. What else? And it's the sermon just tied with my week. Fire me up. And it's not the fire me up you're thinking. You can take it as a double metaphor. Yeah, I get fired up. But I'm talking about when God places in His fire. Those are the toughest moments in our life sometimes when we want to quit and give up. Amen? When the heat is just too much and you know what? People say, I'm done. Amen? Let's pray before we start. God, thank you. Thank you for this great morning, beautiful weather this morning, God. We welcome the Holy Spirit in this room. Take control of our mind, God, our thoughts. Help us to put away the week, whatever it might have had. The busyness, the hurt, the pain, the worrying, the doubting. Help us to hear from you this morning, God. We thank you for your great love and mercy over our lives. Bless your word to our souls this morning. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be preaching and speaking out of Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, verse 8 through 15. Reads like this. Therefore, at the time, a certain Chaldean came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears a sound from the flute, harp, lyre, and palistry in the symphony with all, I can barely see, with all the kinds of music, and all shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not, I gotta stand by the sun, fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, certain Jews from whom you have sent over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the hour of flute, harp, lyre, and I can't say that word, palistry, in the symphonies with all kinds of music, and which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? This is a king, Nebuchadnezzar, that had power. And he set up this 90-foot image, just summarizing this whole book of Daniel, which I picked out these three guys because it depicted my week and sometimes my life and sometimes the things I have to go through. You see? God will bring us through some fiery furnaces. And this king was demanding worship. This statue reminds me of now. The objects or things that we worship, these idols we have put before us, that we come to those first. And God should always come first. And people struggle with scripture. Even Christians, even followers, will take this word, God's word, holy word, and just pull verses and take the nice ones out and twist them to their flavor, whatever fits their life. God's word is holy. God's word is to be taken for face value, end to end. And a lot of people won't do that. And see, the heated moments in our lives should be like that kernel of popcorn, if I may say. Why do I say that kernel of popcorn? There's a lot of followers of God or religious people that are still a kernel. Because that kernel, to become a popcorn, which I love eating, I love popcorn, it needs to get heated up. And not only is that small kernel hard, but when the heat hits it, what happens? It pops into a bigger, something different, new and fresh and tasty. Have you ever been eating popcorn? You get to the bottom, you hit those hard ones. Oh, man, hurts your tooth. Some of us that are up there in age, your tooth falls out or a crown bends or, oh, that kernel. See, but our lives can be that hard. We can be hard inside and appear outside okay. Don't be that kernel. We need that fire, that trial we're going through, the heat of the moment to grow us into a newness. And that's what God does. You see, the fiery furnaces of life, especially the ones that persecute us, are not fun. Because some of us know people that persecute us in a nice way. Friends, co-workers, neighbors, that God. What are you talking about? And see, the king would put instruments, and when they played, everyone had to bow down. And that's what the world's trying to do to us. They're playing a song for us to dance to their music and the ways of this world. And we should not apply to that or adapt to that. And that music will move you and pull you away from God. That thing, that idol, that 90-foot dilemma right before you. But we serve a bigger God than that. He created the universe. Our God don't even fit in the galaxies. And when he spoke creation, it was spoken within hundreds of seconds. We got to remember that God we serve. And these furnaces of life will be trialsome. However, they're good for us. Why? Why are these trials good for us? Because these trials of fiery lives are to encourage us and strengthen us, not to give up and run. That's what it's for. It's for us to grow. See, God is like the potter and we're the clay. You've read it, some of you that know scripture. He's created us. He's our maker. We're just a wad of clay. I think I have pictures up there. This is me at first day of Christian. Just a wad. Jesus come into my life. God placed me right there, right in front of him. Oh, you want to serve me? You want to serve? You want to receive my son, Jesus Christ, into your life? There you are. That's us, day one, okay? Doesn't look too good, huh? See, that's why when you first become a Christian, you're like, what is this? I don't get it. Why does it say this and that, and I don't like it? Well, there it is. That's why. You're going to start growing. God's going to start doing things in you. Then he puts you on the wheel. On the wheel, let's go to the next one. Bam. All right, now it starts shaping. He starts shaping our lives. Next one. This is, and he takes you another form. See, the first one was different. And sometimes we're going this way with God. Okay, God, yeah, I'm with you. I know you're in this. And it's all your flesh. It's all this idol. And God says, no. I'm going to change it up a little bit. I want you to go this way. See, remember this, folks. Every day you wake up, I tell this to a lot of Christians, and I've applied it in my life. When you wake up in your home, I think I've said it up here before, your house can be pitch black if you've lived in your house probably more than 5 years. You can walk there in the dark without hitting a wall. You know where the switches are without even in the dark, right? That's how God works. No, he doesn't. Every time you wake up in the Lord, every day of your life, he's moved the furniture around. But, oh, God, what was that? I wasn't expecting that. Oh, man, where'd that light come from? That's what he does. It's a clean slate every day. And you need to be ready. Not say, oh, man, why did God put that lamp there? I didn't want that lamp there. My lamp goes over here. No one's going to move from there ever. You too, honey. Okay, honey. No. Next picture, please. And God keeps working on us, working on us. You know why I like this one? Because this was me. Look at how grimy the hands are of the Lord. To me, those are God's hands taking all that grime out, all that hate, all that envy, all the anger, all the things I consume, the alcohol, the drugs, the lying, the cheating, the deception, the deceiving, the adultery, the lying to people and hurting my own family without even caring. And God was working on me, taking all that crud out. See, as a Christian, you're never there. You're just growing daily, and you're on the wheel. And then, voila, I'm a Christian now. I feel good. I look pretty good. You're right there. That's what God does. He gives you a purpose. This vase is for flowers, watering. It's going to serve a purpose. But once you're there, guess what's the next thing God does to make this vase really high quality and really do his job, his purpose? Next picture. Woohoo! La lumbre. The fire. Remember, you're going to learn some Spanish with me. The fire. We need some fire in our lives. Fire me up, God. Are you saying, yes, God, I love this trial. I'm glad I'm fighting with my wife. I don't know how we're going to make the rent, but woohoo! That's the attitude we should take in the fire. These guys did it. We're going to get into this right now. How these three young Jews walked into a furnace. Amazing. And people tell me, Frank, come on. How can they walk in a furnace? No one can do that. I believe it. I believe what it says. Everything in here. When you start doubting or questioning without faith, then you're stuck. And then you want to run out of this fire. Well, let's move on. Okay, you're getting all heated up. And all, what's going on? Look at the next picture. There you are. You know why? It's taken, shaped as a vase and put in the fire to strengthen it. See, back in the historical days, biblical days, they would tap the jar after it came out of the fire. They beat it. And if it broke, it wasn't ready. So they remold it, make more mud, and put it on the wheel again. A lot of us do that. Have came to Christ, serving God, and you broke down in some little situation. Oh, I hurt my finger. Or she doesn't talk to me no more. And you break. I don't like the way they looked at me. I don't like the way they talked to me. Oh, I don't like this job. I hate my job. Get a new job. I go through a lot of my work, but I know God placed me there. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to give it 110 because I don't work for man. I work for the Lord. That's what you got to remember, who you work for. What's your purpose here? You're a child of the living God, and you need to apply what it says in here. And there you are. He taps it. Good to go. And then you're all really, okay, I did good. He cussed me out. I didn't like what he said, and I did my part. I was morally quiet, and I answered him, and I walked away. I did good this time. Thank you, God. Okay, you passed the beating of the stick. Guess where he puts you next? The fire again. Fire me up, Lord. What? Oh, no, God, not again. Sorry, I'm done here. This is where a lot of people fall short. This is where we fall short. When you pass some of your trials or things you're going through, and then he hits you again the second time and sticks you in the fire. Oh, you know what, God, that's it. Nah, I tried it once already. You know, I got some family members here. I'm so excited. My niece and my nephew are here for the first time. Michael and Ricky. I am so excited because I know God's drawing my family slowly. You've heard me before. They're trickling in because I'm believing it. He's putting me through furnaces, but I'm going to believe they're all going to be here one day. There's like 20 of us in my family. That's just immediate family. We're probably needing more chairs. I'll buy them. Might need a bus just to go pick them up. I had a big family. Family of 9, like 26 grandkids and 56 great-grandkids. I don't know, I lost count. They'll tell you, they're here. Talk to my niece and nephew. They're back there, Michael and Ricky. But anyways, there you are in the second fire. Oh, gosh, not again. What are you doing, God? No way. Yes way, God says. I'm doing something greater. Something better, something that's going to blow you away. But you got to stay in this fire one more time. Why? Let's look. That's where he beautifies you. He gives you your form, your purpose. He adds color to your life in the midst of the trials. He adds color to your life. You know what this vase reminds me of? Jesus asleep on the boat. And disciples, oh, Lord, we're going to drown the storm. Help us. They had the audacity to tell the king, the creator of all universe, we're going to drown. They saw all the miracles he's done, and they doubted. This is Jesus. And he, no, I'm not going to drown. We're going to be okay. Let the fire burn a little so you can get color out of your life. We're so quick to run and quit and doubt. And hate. This world's full of hate. That's not good for our souls, Christian. It's not good for you. It decays you slowly. Then God will come check you. The word of God says he probes us. Construction guys go probe a ground with this big stake, metals, and they stick it in the ground. Once it can't go in the ground, it's solid. And Jesus is the foundation of our lives. And he's going to sustain you. He's going to hold you up no matter what you're going through. If you stand in Christ, if you believe firmly and deal with that fire in your life. Amen? You still love me? I love you. This one is not an easy one, folks. So there we are, beautified. Is there another one? Okay, I took it out. I was trying to show you my cousin, but I took him out. So God will bring us to fires. He has to, because this is what I put. The flames of life are going to suffocate you or strengthen you. I'm going to repeat these twice, and there's three of them. The flames, the fiery furnaces of your life are either going to suffocate you or strengthen you. The flames of life are going to refrain you or refine you. Get that one? The flames of the fiery furnaces in our lives are going to refrain you, hold you back. Or are you going to move forward? Are you going to move forward? It's going to refine you. Last one. The flames of our fiery furnaces lives is either going to burn us or build us. You see? That's why God has to bring us through trials. Because we'd be so proud and mighty if we say, God, we got this. We don't need you from here. We got it. That's pride. I'm sorry. But you are going to hit bumps in the road. It's all in here. You've seen it in life over and over. People die. They have calamity. There's diseases, sicknesses, nations fighting for power because of sin. And it's all in here. And the Christian is supposed to want to go through some of these trials. And that's why we have each other to pray for each other, console each other, strengthen each other. I've said this 100 times. When I come around my brothers and sisters in Christ, some of you, I get fired up. You excite me. And it just re-strengthens my walk with Christ because I see the works doing in your, what God's doing in your lives. And that's our mission, to go through these fiery furnaces and God will grow us stronger. God will bring us through some furnaces, and there will be others. And the furnaces, folks, gets bigger. The furnaces keep getting bigger and bigger. Did I put a picture of the furnace? It's not there yet. This is what it possibly could have looked like when the king looked in. He only put 3 people in there. You know what's the quickest thing we do when we're in that fire? Where's Jesus? I don't even feel him. Where is he? Where's God in all this? Why is God so mean if he's love? He's in the middle of it. And we're going to get to all this in a bit. He's always there. He says in here, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you forget about him in the fiery furnace, it's on you. He's there. He needs you there. This week was much needed for me. Oh, on top of this busy week, I had a wedding to do last night as well. I had homework to do for the armor bearer. I had that Wednesday night Bible study. I'm just busy all the time. But that's where I want to be. Yes, Lord, keep me busy in the things of God and keep purifying me. Work on me. I'm busy. I don't have time for much things in my personal life, but I'm good with it because it's leading other people to Christ. Just this last Wednesday at our Bible study, there was a young girl there, and she just waited to the end, and the Lord grabbed a hold of her. We just shared and preached and talked about Jesus. And at the end, I came and just introduced myself, talked to her for about 3 minutes. And she just started tearing up. I could see it in her eyes. I go, do you want to receive Jesus? She said, yes. And she just broke. Beautiful. There's people in this room that were there. I wanted to tear up too, but I said I wouldn't cry today. I might though, because God's in control, not me. It was a beautiful thing. It was the most beautiful thing I ever saw. She just received the Lord right there. And you can see it in her ambience, her features. She came to the movies with us on Friday. We went to see God's Not Dead. Amazing. We're those tools that God can use. The trials you've gone through, share them with others because they're probably going through this. They're going to go through those. But you have to believe it because it says it in here. Amen? Some of you are going through fiery furnaces right now, and you don't want to be there. You're telling God, no, God, I'm done. straight up. You're there, and you say, you know what, Lord, I'm done. I don't want none of this. Or you're saying, God, how long? How long you keep firing me up? I've been praying for over 12 years. Now I got a niece and a nephew here. I ain't going to let up, man. As long as Jesus gives me breath, I'm going to keep praying for my family and keep praying for my family, keep praying for my family, keep praying for my family. I believe in the God I serve. I'm not going to serve the idols of this world. I'm not going to let things and situations stop me or slow me down because the Christ, the King, lives in me, lives in you. And all things are possible with Jesus Christ. He could only do it. See, these guys, it even says that we're walking around in the fiery furnace with Jesus. That's why I picked that picture. So why does God bring us into the fiery furnaces? Why? Why did he bring these guys? Why does he bring us? How do we survive these fiery furnaces that we want to give up in? How did these three young Jews survive the fiery furnace and didn't even burn up? Okay. How did these three young heroes do it? Let's get into my 3 points here real quick. I put this, first of all, they demonstrated faith in the face of the fire. Basically, they said, you know what they said? Fire me up. Cook me, Lord. They didn't back out. They knew who they served. They demonstrated faith. Daniel 3:16 through 17 says this. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your hand, your majesty's hand. You know what I love about this text? They're facing the dilemma. They're tied up, and the furnace is right in front of them, and the king just told them a command to throw them in, and they even answered respectively. That's where we missed the mark. You see? They answered respectively. They called the majesty, O King Nebuchadnezzar. And they don't need to defend themselves. This is what I've told people. When you're in a dilemma and you know you're in your right and you're standing before God honestly and you didn't lie or do cause whatever you're facing, you don't have to defend yourself. And if you do, the Lord, the Bible says, he'll give you the words to say. And if you don't need words, just be quiet. He will handle it. I believe a Christian should not defend themselves only if it's heated up to the point where you can or the Holy Spirit will lead you to the answer you answer. But you know, because I know, when I should open my mouth and I shouldn't, because I pray for that. I pray every day, God, open my mouth if I need to speak or keep my mouth shut if I shouldn't. We need to do that, folks. You need to seek that kind of prayer to be like these three young heroes that dealt with that fire without fear. They went right in there. They determined that they were not going to give up. They demonstrated it. Determined is my second point. I was reading that. Second point, they determined to serve God no matter what. No matter what. Daniel 3:18. But even if he does not, we want you to know. Listen to these words, respectful. We want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Amazing. They were determined. They were determined to continue to serve God. Why did I pick determined for my second point? I will tell you, and I always speak it from up here, and I give glory to God. My wife, in her last dying days, as she was decaying physically, she was determined. She never complained, never cried. She was determined to one day believe she would get healed, and she wasn't. Sometimes God's not going to say yes, but she never gave up. She went straight into the presence of the glory of God when she took her last breath because she stayed determined. And I said this till I was blue in the face every time I get up here. She is the one that made my faith stronger, that let me not give up. And I think of her sometimes when I'm in my fires. I want to complain about a little cut in my finger. We can complain about the littlest things, folks. There's people really sick. There's people really struggling right now. Be it financially, physically, marital problems. And we just get all upset about the littlest things. Pray for them. Pray through your situation. Stay determined. Look at Job. Job chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. This is Job. We all know the story of Job. He lost it all. After this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, then fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave." God took everything from him. Satan came before heaven. And he said, "Hey, Satan, what are you doing? I'm just going back and forth from earth, cruising around, messing people up. Why, God? Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant you? Go check them out," God said. And the devil said, "Yeah, I'll go attack them. I'll bring some flame in their life. It's my job. I work in a hot place." But you got to hedge on everything he has. God says, "All right, go get him. Just don't touch him." Took everything from him. And look what he's saying. After all, he lost it all. Family, land, animals, lost it all. And he worshiped God. He remembered who he served. Those things weren't his God. See? He knew he lost it all, but he worshiped God even though he lost it. Look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes me my feet like of a deer, and he enables me to tread on the heights." Habakkuk didn't have food. I've said this before. I've had moments in my home where it's just beans and rice and Jesus Christ. Sometimes there's no food. This guy had nothing in his kitchen. And look what he's saying. He's praising the Lord. This scripture reminds me, I've told you before, when they kicked me out of my house. I went in and worshiped him. I had a home within 10 minutes. It's like that. You need to rejoice in those fiery furnaces. We need to rejoice. Last one, the apostles, Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through 29. "Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. Didn't I tell you never again to teach in this man's name? He demanded, instead you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority." That's a tough one. Here these guys are. They're arrested again. They're preaching Jesus. And they're taken to the council. Shut up about this guy already. We don't want to hear it. That sounds just like our world today. You know what? A lot of us cave into it. Oh, you know what? I better not. You know what happened this week? I'm at work. I'm talking with the guy at the scale. There's a glass in the glass because the truck's way there. And he has to see both ways when drivers come to the window. So I'm standing here talking with them. There's like five or six guys waiting for loads, my coworkers. And a driver I'd never seen opens the window. The guy at the scale gives him the ticket. I'm talking to him. And he looks right at me. He goes, "Hey, you believe in Jesus, huh?" I go, "Why?" He goes, "I bring loads in. I've never seen this, man. I just see him from far a few times. I don't work that side of the business. I do the chemical side." He goes, "I can see Jesus in you." He goes, "I don't believe in God, but what keeps you smiling?" And it was like an E.F. Hutt moment speaks again. Everyone just turned around and looked at me. You know what my flesh said for the first second? Oh, gosh, what do I say? 1 second. 1,001. We're that way. I'm being real. I'm confessing. For a second, oh, gosh, I got to tell him I'm a Christian. And I said, "Yeah, you know who my strength is? My Lord Jesus Christ." And they all like, quiet. And they just went on. He goes, I knew it. I don't believe in God, but I knew it. That's what he would say. I go, "God bless you, sir. Have a great day. And I pray the Lord protects you as you drive on the road." He goes, "Thank you, young man." And he left. See, you're going to be in those fiery moments. Do not reject. Claim Jesus Christ. Guess what? All those drivers now, they know I'm not ashamed. I've told you, "Hey, go talk to Frank. He's over there. He'll pray for you." There's a guy with a Bible, the religious guy. I don't care what they call me. Jesus, bring them. I'll lead them to you, Lord. I'm not going to say anything else. You want to bring them, God? I will pray with them. I will hopefully instill some kind of seed. And even though if they don't receive Jesus, someone else will. Because this girl that got saved, I told you last Wednesday that I spoke about earlier, there was a lady she works with, I believe. She told me the story after she received the Lord that this lady had been ministering to her. The word of God says, some water and some plant, but God gives the increase. She had already been watered and worked on, and the Lord made that timing for me to sit next to her because I was supposed to leave early that night, that Bible study, and something kept keeping me there in the house, kept keeping me there. I never stayed that late, and I stayed very late. And at the very end, the Lord grabbed the hold of her. She was prepared. God prepared her through someone else. See, so when you're ministering to someone you know, you love, you work with, and they're not coming to the Lord and you're seeing no results, God's going to put some, they're going to put them somewhere else that someone knows Christ, they're going to lead them. We're dominoes, guys. It's just an effect. It just keeps coming. They keep falling. But if we stay faithful and stand in those fiery moments when it looks glim, when it looks impossible, my niece and my nephew are here after what? 12 years of prayer. 12 years. By name. Ricky and Michael. Ricky and Michael. Sorry, guys, I put you on the spot. I love you guys. People will talk to you after this. Sorry. You can give them your autograph if you like. Faithful prayer. I've had some bad moments, some hard things I go through personally. But every time I get there to pray, I pray for my family. I pray for you. Pray for remnant. Faithfully. Believe it. No matter how big this idol looks, this 90-foot statue, don't stop praying. Keep believing. And God's going to start changing and moving things in your life. Amen? So how are we saved from this fiery furnace? Point number three, delivered by God. Simple. Simple. Because a lot of people today, before I get into the text, believe that they don't need God. People believe today that they don't need Jesus. There's so many other religions and beliefs now. There's probably 600 types of religions, and faith goes into the thousands. There's many beliefs out there now, twisted, turned, confused. Why? Because they get away from the truth of God's word from end to end. They just knit, pick, and pull. You got to go end to end. You can cheat. People cheat. Go around. Fake it. But you will be found out. Because of the fire. They're going to tap you and you're going to break. You'll be found out. God works that way. You see? He does it to me all the time. He deals with me, works with me. And he said, oh, you want to preach about being fired up in the furnace? Check out this week I'm going to give you. And I was praying, come on, Lord. I hardly had time to study, but I got it in there. Sacrifice. How many of you actually can sacrifice 5 more minutes of your time for the Lord? Quick reading at work, in your phone. Now it's phones, I'm sure. Read something. Pray really quick. At least start somewhere, because then you're going to be like that kernel. Your heart gets as hard as that kernel, but it's hard. It's no good. See, in all of us, since the moment you're born, I talked to someone about this. I forget. I talked to a lot of people. They question me. They text me. And my phone's been going off all morning. If you see the little light back there, that's my phone. I put it on vibrate, and the light reminds me because sometimes I don't feel it vibrate because I'm getting older now, and my body vibrates. And I'm like, oh, no, that's just me. And then I feel it again. Oh, that's my other part. And, oh, man, the phone. No, that was my other part. I don't know why I said that. Thank you. I do feel better. I believe that when we're born, the Spirit of God's already in us. We just need to be woken up. I've said this before. We've preached it on another series. People are zombies. They're walking around like zombies. They're dead. They're alive. They're living their lives. Some people really believe they're going to go to heaven without God. They don't need a Savior. That's why they make these movies now. Yeah, they're twisted a little bit for Hollywood. I don't agree with some of it. It didn't quite match or tune in. But why be so legalistic? Let's use this as a tool. Go home. Go tell someone and lead them to Jesus. God does the rest. You're not in control. God is. He wants to use us. He wants to form us and fashion us. Daniel 3:25. They were delivered by God. Look what it says. Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed. And the fourth one looks like a god. You see? Wait a minute. They're in a furnace and they're walking around talking with someone. You know what the story says if you read the whole chapter 3? When they got four guards. They're bodybuilding guys, so to speak. Big guys. Strongest guys, the king got. And got some strongest rope, tied them as hard as they could. And when two of them opened the furnace, they died and burned on the spot from just the heat. Have you ever been by a campfire? You're like, whoa, you got to back up because the flame gets big. Well, this king made the flame three times hotter. And when these guards opened the door, they died on the spot because of the heat. Then the other two that were left, they threw them in there. They walk right in. We trust our God. Yep. My marriage looks pretty shambly, but I'm going to walk with Jesus in this fire. Yep. My rent's due, but I'm going to make this. I'm trying to get through college, but I'm going to make this. I know Jesus is right here in this fire. Yeah, this relationship doesn't look good, but I'm going to make it. Yeah, I don't want to be here on Sundays coming to Remnant, but I'm going to make it. I don't know who that one was for. Not for you guys, the ones that are out here, okay? Don't get me wrong. You see? They were walking around in a flame. And when they walked out, where'd the fourth one go? You want to know why the fourth one didn't come out? Because when he brings you out of the fire, I said earlier, you're going to go back in. Jesus is always there waiting. That's why Jesus didn't have to come out. He's waiting for us in those furnaces. I question verses, scripture. How come the fourth person didn't come out? Oh, he's always in there. So when we come back to the fire, hey, Jesus, yeah, we're in here again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this fire. Feels good. You know, listen, they were thrown into this fiery furnace. They never thought they were doomed. They never believed it. They knew they were going to walk out. You know the only thing that burned off? What bound them, the rope. The rope was gone. You see, folks, what is intended to bind you and hold you is intended for you to let it go and let God work in your life. What's intended to destroy you is intended to increase you. That makes sense? Getting some of you college students? Because I'm not a college student, but I get it. I got it. The ropes of life come off. That thing that's supposed to hold you back and bind you. Because some of us can stand that fire. No, Jesus, don't take off the rope. I'm good. I'll be okay. You're in there in the furnace. No, no, Lord, leave the rope on. I'll make it. Okay, we'll see you later. Just thanks. You still come out like this. Let him work. And they were walking around talking. Can you imagine? What were they talking about? I'll tell you what they were talking about. This is my theory, if you read the whole story, which I didn't put in there. When they came out, the king's like, they didn't even smell. Because some of us Christians can smell. And I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually. Because you're looking all good, but you're all dead inside. You smell like smoke. Because your faith is weak. You doubt. You're stuck. You don't believe. And these guys, the king smelled them like, wow, nothing happened to these guys? You know what? He went to his city and said, everyone's going to worship this God now. Praise the Lord, he says. Praise the Lord. It's not in my PowerPoint. I'll get there. It is at the very bottom. But he came out praising a God he didn't believe in. To me, that's a perfect picture of people that are atheists and they see powerful miracles by God and they go, oh, what? You know what? Yeah, I buy that. This God is powerful. And this king believed. And not only that, these guys ended up in a better position. But before I go too far, they were delivered by God. The very thing that was supposed to destroy them enabled them to walk freely. We will enter to trials bound up, looking like it's doing, but God will always intervene and cool off the flame. If we truly live for him, you will be truly free. If you truly live for Jesus, you'll be truly free. If you believe in me, he says, you'll be free in that fire too. I'll take those ropes off. We can walk around and talk about it. And Jesus told them their purpose in the fire. Look at Romans 5, verse 3 through 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us deliver endurance. The endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and the hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. You see? Sometimes we're in the fiery furnaces, guys, and you can walk out and you can still not love people. It takes God's love to love people. You need to work on that. We need to work on that. God's love. Those furnaces are for us to grow and strengthen us. And why was this king excited about it? I'll tell you the results. First, like I said, he came out giving glory to God. He said, everyone's going to praise his God. You know what? This statue doesn't really got it going on. This is a powerful God. That was a hot flame, and they came out walking. They don't even smell burnt. He gave glory to God. Second, it led the king to believe in God. There it is, Daniel 3, 28 and 29. Did I put it up there? Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to God. There it is. Praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any other god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation and language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be torn down into piles of rubble, for no other God can save this way. See, guys, when you're going through trials, people are watching you, and that's what's going to help them walk with God too and be delivered. You're the example. People ask me, Frank, how can you still smile? Your wife died. I go, it's Jesus. I know where she's at. She knows where she's at because she told me she wanted to go home. And she went to lunch, and she never came back. She passed away right around lunch. I always say that, which it was true. She sat up, took her, looked at me, and passed. And I looked at the time, it was going to be one. I go, Frank, when did she die? Just a while ago, she went to lunch with Jesus and never came back. I wouldn't want to come back. This world is tough. It's not easy. But we can walk in those flames. You see, and this king was praising God. And this is a good one. You know why? What Jesus was telling him in the furnace, this is what I put. Look at Daniel 3:30. Is it up here? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the province of Babylon. Promoted. Wait a minute. They were just in the fiery furnace. He'll promote you. Not only in life, but in your spiritual life. It'll strengthen you spiritually. But literally, they had a job there in the province. There were workers. And then they went through this trial. And God brought them out. And they got a better position. I've said this before, there's many Christians in high-ranked positions from the presidency down to our regular companies we work for. I've noticed that. My boss is a Christian. I know the guys that work in companies, the boss is a Christian, the manager is a Christian, the helper of the manager is a Christian, like in my case. And as I started in this company, all the Christians started moving into the office, and all these vile, vulgar men that drive work outside. God gives you favor. And I went through some furnaces, and I dealt with it, and I put up with it, and God has placed me where I'm at, where I work, no doubt. He'll increase you. Whatever that desire in your heart is, if it lines up with God, and you're willing to go through this furnace and walk around with Jesus in this fire and let the ropes burn off and come out positive out of it and not rejecting and hating and not loving the way you shouldn't, God will increase you and promote you. See, I never had plans to come speak here with Jerry and Jeremiah. The Lord promoted me over here. And it was very ugly the way it was torn to bring me here. The way God did it, it hurt. It hurt my wife. It hurt my daughters. We didn't understand, but we just walked out and said, we're going to do it, Lord. Here we come. We're going to Remnant. And he's doing great things. He's still doing ministry. I'm still seeing his hand move and work and do miracles. Change lives, change marriages. Because some of us, if we come out positive, you'll get promoted. Don't you want to get promoted? Or are you comfortable in that flame? Or comfortable enough to walk on, leave the ropes on? Let it go, man. Know where you stand. Your foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. He is your God. He is your Redeemer. There's nothing better than that. We're going to have troubles in John, Jesus said. Chapter 14, you're going to have troubles in this world. But what is he going on to say? Don't worry about it. I already took care of the world. Read the end of the book. We win. It's in Revelation. We win. You're fighting a battle that's not even yours. You're trying to worship a God that God's saying, you know, don't do that. I got you. He's trying to keep you in the fire and you want to get out. You're not going to grow. You're going to come out of that fire and you're going to be tapped. You're going to break. That's why I put the pictures of those vases. You got to let them work on you. That's the only way. Transformation will take place in your life. Spiritually first and then physically. Because the Bible says he gives you health as well. He has given me great health and I'm blessed by the Lord Almighty. But I take care of myself. I try to sleep good, eat good, and always witness to people. Always pray. Humble myself and serve Jerry and Jeremiah, whatever they need. I'll humble myself under them. Even though I'm probably at the street, I see myself as their servant. They'll tell you. And they're the same with me. That's what it takes. Go through that fire. Amen? The fires of life are for our good. You need to remember that. The fires of life are going to increase you. They're either going to suffocate you or strengthen you. Amen? Worship team, come on now. Everybody stand, please, if you're able. We're just going to close in prayer.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You